Chag Sameach. I hope you all are having a wonderful holiday period. Please join me with the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tati. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, love for no reason. It's also the gematria of the word Rosh, Resh Vav Shin, which means head, as this is the head, the beginning of the creation process. It's also one of the 72 names has the same gematria, Vav Shin Resh, which is connected to memories and changing the patterns of mistakes and recreating perfection. Kabel rinat amchag sagvenu taharenu. No mar. Kufre shayan sintet nun. Two three-letter Hebrew words. Two words are kra satan, which means tear up the satan, tear up the negativity. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other words, sha'ar katan, which means small gates. And this is a hint and a reminder to guard and protect and judge what comes into our gates, what comes into the gates of our head, the two eyes, the two ears, the two parts of the nose, and the mouth. These seven small gates is the only entry that the negative force has to come within us. If we guard it, if we judge what comes into us, we evaluate what comes into us, and keep out the negativity, there is no room for making mistakes, no need to make mistakes. It's only when we are listening to our senses without evaluating them in a proper way. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kivavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet. Yud Kaf Shin. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means sustenance. Sustenance is essentially the fulfillment of our desires. For many people, that fulfillment is money. For many people, that fulfillment is a job that allows them to earn a living. For many people, it's just fulfillment of all desires. This is sustenance. This is parnassah. This is the sequence that can help assist us in that. Yud Kaf Shin is the sequence that we can use to take back the negativity, to take back the energy we've given to the negativity through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem. Bet tet reish, sadi taf gimel. the two letters in the middle of these six letters. The Resh and the Tzadi has the gematria of 290, which is the same gematria as the name Miriam. Miriam the prophetess, Miriam the Sadeket, the female Sadiq, in whose merit the water of the well of Miriam was given to the Jewish nation during the desert march for 40 years. These two letters, this sequence, can allow us to enhance our relationships, to bring children, if that is our desire, and many other aspects. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin. And the two letters of the month of Tishrei, the month of Moznaim, the month of scales, the month of Libra, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, the Pei that has concealed within it the Bet of Blessing, the Pei that means our mouth. Within our mouth, we have the ability to draw blessings. When you visualize the Pei, when you meditate on the Pei, try and see both the Bet and the Pei at the same time. The Lamed, which created the constellation Mazdaim, the scales, the Libra. Is the idea of the scales that of mercy or that of judgment? Is it mercy within judgment or is it judgment within mercy? Something to think about in your meditations. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushatach yud gimel lamed hei zayin kuf. These six letters form a sequence that we can use to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shabbatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadiyutav. These six letters are a sequence that helps us manifest all of our dreams and desires. Visualize the way you wish your life to be. Visualize it in a sharing manner. These six letters will help you manifest it. And the last time, Lime is said in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our class, let's bring the energy of the Zohar into our class. I'm reading verse 236 in the portion of Hazino. It's in the section titled, Remember the Days of Old, Consider the Years of Many Generations. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanehu V'ha Taninan Hanhu Anpei De'ilana Hech Mit Achadan V'goy Ilana V'ha Okuna Kedem Kutshabarichu Birer Lon Limanan Terisin Al She'ar Amin V'yatun Ma Kativ Ki Helek Hashem Amo Yaakov Hevel Nachalato. boughs of the tree, which is the 70 ministers of the nations, are connected within the tree, which is their unpin. We explain that the Holy One, blessed be He, then split the 70 ministers into officers and protectors over the rest of the nations. And of you, Israel, it is written, for Hashem's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. A verse from the portion of Hazino, chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. Since He gave them not to a minister or an angel or any other officer, as He took as His portion this nation of the Holy One, blessed be He. The verse is fairly straightforward as we understand it, but it's also dealing with spiritual concepts that have different understanding than its simple literal level. On the simple level, there are 72 nations. There is the 70 nations, and there is the Jewish nation, and there is the nation of Edom. Or some people say there are 73 nations, representing the gematria, the numerical value of the word chesed, which is 73. In that discussion, there are 70 nations. There is the nation of Yishmael, the nation of Edom, and the Jewish nation. The three nations represent the right column, Ishmael, sharing, the left column, Edom, receiving, and the central column, the Jewish nation. But in all of this discussion, there are ministers. There are angels who have the responsibility of leading these 72 nations. But the Jewish nation does not have a minister. The Jewish nation is led directly by Hashem. And because of that merit, whether the nation has the merit because Hashem chose us, or Hashem chose us so that that's what creates the merit, it's unclear, and it's not really part of this discussion. The idea of the Jewish nation not having to go through a minister means that there is no filter, there's no process in our connection to Hashem. Whereas with the other nations, their requests, their prayers, their discussion, their receiving of energy comes through these angelic ministers, these chieftains. The Hebrew word is tsar, sadi resh. Excuse me, it's shin resh, tsar, shin resh, resh. But the idea of these angels sharing with the people of their nation, also applies to the Jewish people when we are in exile. Hashem then shares with the ministers of each nation in its physical location. So if someone is living in the nation of Egypt, or in the nation of Saudi Arabia, and they happen to be a Jewish soul, one of the 10 lost tribes, that Hashem is giving that minister the energy to share with the Jewish people as well. And just as any pipe is a channel for whatever is flowing through it, that minister is a channel for the energy of the Jewish nation, and as such, has the opportunity to siphon some of it off. As such, has the opportunity to restrict the flow to the Jewish people living under its territory, under its relationship. That's all revealed in this verse. Before I start tonight's lesson, which will be a more detailed discussion of the Haggim, does anybody have any questions? Rosh Hashanah is over, or is it? Rosh Hashanah is understood as the head of the year. The Hebrew word Rosh means head. Hashanah means the year. The gematria of Rosh, Resh Vav Shin, is 506. I touched on it in the first verse of the Ana Bikoach. I touched on it when discussing the 72 name Vav Shin Resh. The Hebrew word shofar is spelled Shin Vav Pe Resh. Three of those four letters is the word Rosh. The word, the fourth letter, the Pei, means mouth. The shofar is the head of the mouth. What is the mouth? The mouth is our form of communication. The mouth is how we communicate with other people. The mouth is the malchut, the manifestation level of the frame of the head. We blew the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And we have all of the stories in Midrashim explaining how the shofar makes the Satan stupid, makes him forget, makes him not be able to prosecute us properly. It allows us to choose our year, to start the process of rebirth, of renewal. Rosh Hashanah is said to be one long day, but the Kabbalists have taught us that Rosh Hashanah is 22 days. Renewal is the process of growing. It's the process of maturity. We have not finished with the shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, we blew it a lot, 101 times in some synagogues, 10 times in others. On Yom Kippur, the last action we will do is blowing the shofar. These 10 days, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, represent the building of our vessel for the desire to receive during this coming year. I didn't say the desire to receive in order to share, and I didn't say the desire to receive for oneself alone. I said the desire to receive. Building the vessel. These 10 days of awe, of repentance, tshuva, these 10 days of building the desire. We fast, among other, there are 5 restrictions on Yom Kippur. We do not eat or drink. We do not wear leather belts, leather shoes, excuse me. We do not wear perfume. We do not wash. And we do not have sexual relations. These five restrictions are designed to take and allow our consciousness to be spiritual and not physical, to limit our connection to the physical. It says in the Talmud that the more you eat on the ninth day of Tishrei, the day before Yom Kippur, is as if it's a second day of fasting. The more you eat on the ninth, the more spiritual you become. It's kind of hard to understand that. There are other rituals that are done on the ninth day. There are rituals within the prayer, within the tefillah, on Yom Kippur itself. Number one, there are the five meals, the five spiritual meals, which is the way the Kabbalists refer to the Amidahs, the standing prayers. The Amidah is a meditative tool. It's not designed to say without understanding. It's not designed to be a prayer. It's designed to be a meditative tool. Using the Hebrew letters of the words of the Amidah, of the letters of the Amidah, this prayer service, the prayer structure, elevates us from world to world to world to world. Using the metaphor that you are now standing before God, speaking from your heart. Do you visualize it? Do you experience God in the Amidah? Or can you not wait till it's over? I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. If you understand the spiritual meal, if you experience Hashem in the process of the meditative tool, you have the ability, being that you have elevated yourself from Malchut to Zeranpin, to Binah, to Chochmah, to Keter of Binah, of cosmic Binah, of the original Binah in the endless world. Not the Binah of my mother who gave birth to me, but the cosmic Binah, the original Sephirah, the original mother, the original energy store. Going through this process of the five meals, reaching Nehilah, reaching this moment where we are standing in front of God, beseeching Him for our year to be written in the book of life and not death. God created a you, me, us, as a desire to receive. He created us as a desire to receive so that we could draw the light of God to be revealed within our vessel. People talk about the will of God. I want to do the will of God. God created you as a desire to receive. Your desire is His will. God wants you to reveal His light. What is the understanding of revelation of light? It's very simple. Why do you get dressed in the morning? Can you be seen if you are not clothed? Can you be seen if you are not first concealed? The light of God is concealed. It's ethereal. It has no garment. It has no vessel. It comes down into the physical world, but cannot be revealed without a vessel. That vessel is your desire. That vessel is your desire, which is God's will. At Nehillah, you have the ability, having risen to the cosmic Binah, of going into the energy store and changing your year DNA, changing your future to be what you want it to be, because that is God's will. That is God's mercy. The ninth of Tishrei, the day before, is considered part and unified with the tenth day, Yom Kippur. The ninth day is the Yesod, which is always connected to the manifestation. The Yesod is a channel. It's a channel that brings everything from the spiritual levels into the physical levels. And it's a channel that takes everything from the physical levels, prayers, thoughts, requests, back up to the spiritual. It's a channel that balances the flow between the spiritual and the physical. The ninth day of Tishrei, there is a ritual called Kaparot. Historically, from my research and what my teachers have told me, Kaparot started in the Middle Ages, and it appears to the modern mind as a superstition. Kaparot is a cleansing ritual. It is the idea of taking my negativity, transferring it to another item, and removing it from me. What are those items? Some people use money. Silver coins are best. Some people use the Hebrew word gever, or chicken. The relationship between a chicken and the concept of judgment and the idea of cleansing is too complicated even to go in this advanced class. But there is a ritual that is best done after midnight, closest as possible to the morning star, of waving a chicken over your head, transferring your negativity to the chicken, and then slaughtering the chicken in a kosher manner, burying the blood, throwing earth on the blood, salting the animal so that it removes more of the blood, and then cooking it in a kosher process, which you eat as the meal just before the start of the fast that evening. Many people find this horrendous to even contemplate. We don't need animal sacrifices. That's an old ritual. That's for uneducated people. That's for people who didn't understand. All I can tell you is that when I first started to study Kabbalah, and I was introduced to the ritual of Kapara, I have not experienced another revelation of light like that first experience of Kapara. I highly recommend you do it. If you can't wave 5 silver coins above your head, there are within the Machzorim of the Sephardic Machzorim, you will find the ritual of Kapara. To be done with money or chicken or other items, but it is a process just like the sacrifices in the temple required someone to transfer their negativity to the animal before the slaughtering. The ritual of Kapara does that same thing. During Yom Kippur, we will read about what the Kohen Gadol did in the Holy of Holies on that day. What did the Kohen Gadol do? He unified all of the worlds, all of the Sfirot, all of the people. And in that process of unification, brought the world back to balance, removing all the negativity. In the Talmud, it explains there is an opinion which the Halakha does not follow, but does not say is wrong. And it says very simply, the day of Yom Kippur is a cleansing day that totally eliminates all of your negativity. It allows the vessel, remember these 22 days is building the vessel, the first 10 days. It allows the vessel to be created clean, pure. The energy of the cosmic Bina, the energy store, allows our vessels to be pure. Of course, on a human level, the halakha says, the path says, the law says, the suggestions say, you have to do some spiritual work. There's no free lunch. You cannot just walk into Yom Kippur and walk out clean. You have to do spiritual work, and we have done so since the beginning of Tu B'Av for some, and Elul for others. And the whole process of tshuva. But the issue is very simple. The halakha does not say that this idea from the Talmud is incorrect. The day, the energy of Yom Kippur purifies the human being. Whether that's only a Jewish soul or it's a non-Jewish soul, I've not heard anybody address the issue. issue, so I cannot say to you. I have not researched it on my own, so I cannot say to you. But I don't really think it matters. Because the idea of the ninth day of Tishrei and the tenth day of Tishrei is about purification. It's about the concept of at-one-ment, which is the only way we can connect to purity. There is a difference between holiness, kadosh, and tahor, purity, and tamei, impurity. What are those differences? We could spend about three lifetimes learning what those differences are. Yom Kippur is purifying the vessel. All of the extra food that we are recommended to eat on the ninth of Av, so that we are credited with 2 days of fasting, is about purifying the vessel, building the vessel, creating the vessel for our year. What do we want it to be? Do we want it to be a desire to receive for oneself alone? I want, and I don't want you to have, God forbid. Or is it a day, it is a vessel of I want for you, and I really don't need to worry about myself, because I know there's someone out there worrying about me, dealing with my desire, what my needs are, what my lacks are, and they're going to share that fulfillment. In the energy store, you cannot be in the energy store if you are in a desire to receive for yourself alone. Consciousness is affinity of form. Consciousness creates affinity of form. When you love, you are in an affinity with the person or thing that you love. When you are in hate, God forbid, you are separated from that thing or person that you hate. The energy store does not let you stay in the energy store if you don't have affinity of form, if you don't have a similar consciousness as the cosmic Bina. And when we have talked about our four phases, the process of creation, Bina, the second phase, has taken on the attribute of the Creator, which is sharing. To be in the cosmic Bina, one must have the consciousness of sharing. So what do I want to share for our world this year? I want to share the manifestation of Mashiach. I want to share the manifestation of Tehillat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. I want to share the manifestation of the return of prophecy, the return of the experience of God on a level of face-to-face, as Moshe was able to do. I know the Torah says that you cannot see me, meaning God, face to face and live. And we all understand that to mean that as a limited entity of a physicality, we cannot experience the unlimited Ein Sof. But we also know that a pipe, a channel, has no limitation. There's no quantity that overflows the pipe. It just keeps flowing until, God forbid, there's an end. And in the endless world, there is no end. So the pipe keeps flowing. The channel keeps working. That's what we can connect to and achieve by being in the cosmic Bina. The five meals, the structure of the prayers on Yom Kippur. We go through the Slichot. We go through the 13 attributes within the Slichot. We go through the Vidui, the confessional, within the Slichot. We go through the process of cleansing each and every one of the five levels. Remember, the Slichot is in the order of the Aleph Bet, and it's in the reverse order of the Aleph Bet, and it's in the multiple sequences of the order of the Aleph Bet. And it's in the multiple sequences of the reverse order of the alphabet. And it goes on and on and on endlessly, thank God. Most of us don't have the time in the course of the Amidah to say every one of the words of the Slichot. And there is a general rule that the sages pretty well agree to, although the rabbis don't publish it. It says, Maimonides, Nachmanides, the Ben Ish Chai, the Ari, a little amount of tefillah with a greater amount of kavanah is better than a greater amount of tefillah with little amount of kavanah. The terms kavanah means directed intention. What this law is saying, better to do a little bit of prayer with the Hebrew language, the Hebrew letters, with directed intention, than to do a lot of prayer with no directed intention. Read each word of the Slichot. You can't finish it, don't worry about it. Read the words that you can do. Connect them. Look at them. Look at the order of the alphabet. Understand what does it mean when you put the Aleph Bet together. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, etc. Why did God create an order to the Aleph Bet? The Aleph Bet is the DNA of creation. God spoke and there was creation. God spoke words. Words are made up of letters. The letters are in a sequence. Is that sequence in order or out of order? Is your year going to be filled with the Mashiach consciousness? With the elimination of death consciousness? Bila Hamavit LaNetzach? Is your year going to be filled with disorder, with chaos? Your vessel is pure. Write on it what you will. In the Torah, it's a well-known secret that it talks about Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is one day. Yom HaKippurim is a plural word. Why does the Torah make a plural word? We have a lovely midrash. It tells us that the Jewish nation during the period of 4 days, 5 days really, from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, does a sin. Never does a disconnection. Never does a mistake. And the rabbis explain this, that these 5 days are the Yom Kippurim, the plural of Yom Kippur. The purity that you experience at Nilah, the building of your vessel, your desire, that manifests on Yom Kippur, carries through to the Yom Kippurim. The reason you cannot make a sin is you're so busy doing mitzvot, buying your lulav, buying your etrog, building your sukkah, preparing to connect with certainty, leaving your comfortable existence in your home and moving into the sukkah to dwell for 7 or 8 days, that you cannot possibly do anything wrong. And even if you did do something wrong, Hashem doesn't record it. He's taking a break. Nobody's looking. That's the meaning of the Midrash. Is that mean that Yom HaKippurim is a free lunch? We've always said there is no free lunch. That we come into this world to remove bread of shame. So anything that we do that we didn't earn, we run away from. And that's why the halakha says that that idea of Yom Kippur purifying is not correct, because we don't want to give you the opportunity to think there's no free lunch, or there is free lunch. The truth is, the vessel being complete but not fulfilled in those process of 22 days, the vessel, like any child who's immature, cannot be expected to know right from wrong, cannot be punished for doing something incorrectly, except if it is done in a learning process. So you give the little child the pachka and the tushy and say the stove is hot. But an adult who touches the hot stove, you may pass a judgment. What a fool. Didn't his mother teach him? These 4-5 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are the beginning of the Sukkot, the beginning of the process, the level of the fulfillment, the right column, the light that is in Sukkot. And we're running out of time, so we won't be able to deal with all of Sukkot. We'll do that again somewhat next week. But these 5 days, actions that you do that are incorrect, that are considered negative, you're a child. You're going to get the slap on the fanny. Does that hurt? No. Does that educate? Yes. You have a pure vessel for 5 days. You have no free lunch. You have the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to study, the opportunity to create the drawing of the energy of mercy, of chesed, gematria of 73. Or is it Chachma that has 73? I always get them confused. It's Chachma, it's wisdom that has 73, that has the connection to every nation in the world. I'm going to leave you at this point with questions. I hope you have them. I hope you work at answering them during these 5 days. And next week we will pick up discussing the second half of these 22 days. The building of the fulfillment. God created you as a desire to receive, and on Yom Kippur, your desire to receive is complete. Your year, your desire, which is God's will, is known. It's revealed. Not in our world. That's what we call time, the process of living. But it is revealed. It is known what this year will bring. I have said repeatedly, we all will return to the endless world. Therefore, I do not need to know the future. But I create my future year by year. In this next year, I can complete my correction, changing everything, every aspect about me that needs to be changed. And by doing so, revealing all of the light that I potentially have to reveal. And therefore being able to leave this physical world with its chaos and craziness. And wait in the endless world, wait in the Gan Eden, to go to the endless world. Is that the goal, to leave this world? No, it actually isn't the goal. The goal is to receive the fulfillment that is meant to be received in this physical world, and to not have chaos in this physical world, to not have lack in this physical world, to only have joy and happiness and pleasure. That's the goal. Bring that consciousness with you into the Yom Kippur. Whatever you conceive while you're in the energy store, whatever consciousness you have while you're in the energy store, the cosmic Bina, is the light of fulfillment that will be available to you during the year. You want to know what's going to happen? Whatever you think will happen. Bring the consciousness of joy. Bring the consciousness of pleasure. Bring the consciousness of happiness. and then spend the next 11 and a half months manifesting it. Chag Sameach. Have a beautiful new year. Does anybody have any questions? Chag Sameach.